Many, many years ago, when I was a sophomore in college, I had a friend and classmate, Jim Schutz. We'd gone to high school together. We'd known each other for a long time. Jim was an economics major and a good one. He was acing economics courses. Any course that had a definitive answer, math, science, economics, something like that, he would find that definitive answer and he'd learn it and he'd be right. He was good at that. When the fuzzier subjects came along, though, he didn't know what to do. In a subject where you didn't have an absolute right answer but could defend this alternative or that alternative, Jim was perplexed. Political science was the archetypal subject of that sort. But Pol Sci 101, 202 was a required course. And by the end of 202, Jim was on shaky ground. He was carrying a D-minus average into the final exam. If he didn't do well on this exam, he could fail the course, which was going to end his college career right there because it was a required course and his father was definitely not paying for a mulligan. So a couple days before the exam, Jim called me up and said, you do pretty well in Pol Sci. I said, yeah, reasonably. He said, can I come over and study with you? I said, sure. Well, about that time, Baker versus Carr came down. It was the first of the reapportionment decisions, made the cover of Time. When Jim got there, I handed him the article. I said, Jim, read this article, learn the stuff I underlined, memorize the quote I drew a box around. He said, I haven't got time to fool with this. We got a final exam coming up. I said, yeah, this is going to be on it. He said, it can't be on it. This came out 3 days after the last class. I can't be on the exam. I said, Jim, if you don't know the subject, know the professor. Know what's going to be on the exam. Hans Meyer is teaching Political Science 202, but he's a constitutional lawyer at heart. And this is the most important case in constitutional law since Brown versus Board. It's going to be on the test. Study it. You sure? Yeah, Jim, I'm sure. All right. So he put some serious time into studying that, and then we went on to other stuff. Next day, final exam. 7 essay questions. Pick any 4. 25 points apiece. Question number 5, Baker v. Carr. Period. They couldn't hang Hans for putting it on the exam because you had 6 other alternatives. You didn't have to answer that one. But if you did, he was already on your side, right? And Jim was prepared for that one. He got 24 out of 25 points on that question alone and picked up enough on the other 3 questions to raise his average from a D-minus to a C+. Then he got on to courses in his major where he could roll, and he did a very fine career with IBM, from which he is now retired, and he ought to send me 10% of his pension every month, but he doesn't. Now, why am I telling that story, other than to create moral pressure on Jim Schutz to send me a share of his pension check? Because it's about this gospel. If you don't know the whole subject, know what's going to be on the test. Know the professor. And this is what's going to be on the test. Everybody talks about the Last Judgment, and you've got all kinds of pictures of it, artistic, verbal, musical, whatever. But this is the only place in the whole Bible where Jesus speaks about what the Last Judgment will be about. And it's not what anybody expects. I know lots and lots of pious Jews who will tell you that the final judgment will be based on how much Torah you kept. I know a lot of pious Catholics who will tell you that the final judgment will be based on whether or not you belong to the one true church. I know a lot of pious Protestants who will tell you that the final judgment will depend on whether you claim Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. That ain't it. Jesus doesn't say any of those things. He gives you 6 questions for the final exam. When I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was thirsty, could I get a cup of water from you? When I was homeless, would you find me a place to stay? When I was naked, could you give me something to wear? When I was sick, did you take care of me? When they locked me up, did you come see me? Not even did you go bail, just did you come see me? 6 questions. That's the test. And this is not some obscure corner of Matthew's gospel. You know how Matthew structures his gospel, the five books, each of which has a narrative and a sermon, a narrative and a sermon, and the sermons all end when he finished this. What's the next verse after today's gospel? But the righteous to eternal life. When Jesus had finished all these words, he said to his disciples, "You know that in 2 days' time it will be Passover, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." The beginning of the Passion narrative. This is the last of the last part of the last book of Matthew's five books. Go back and look at the beginning. What was the first part of the first book? Chapters 1 and 2 were the infancy narrative. 3 and 4 are the narrative of the first book. And then the first discourse begins chapters 5, 6, and 7. Sermon on the Mount. Remember, we were going over it in detail this spring. It begins with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the single-hearted. Blessed are the peacemakers. Do you see a similarity here? There's an arch of meaning from the beginning to the end. Matthew is very careful to structure it that way. This is a strong emphasis. Learn what's going to be on the exam. Then live that way. Yeah, it is right to claim Jesus as your Savior. It is right to gather with your brothers and sisters to worship God. It is right to keep the Word of God in the Torah. But none of those questions are on the final exam. These are the questions on the final exam. Jim Schutz saved his college career because he trusted me about what was going to be on the final exam. You're going to save a hell of a lot more than your college career if you trust Jesus about what's going to be on the final exam. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.